Kick-Ass Dice, sharing tips to help empower you to take control of your career. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us again. I'm Anne, as always, and today we have Dr. Sean with us. We're very lucky to have Sean. Sean is a veterinarian who did his degree partly through the Army stuff, which I'll get him to tell us about. Nope, not at all. Didn't they pay for it? Didn't they pay for it?
Army does not provide any support for that.
I all along thought that you did it through that. Okay, well, we'll get to that in a second, and you can educate me as well. I'm sorry. And then it is going through human medicine now. So we're going to chat with him about kind of those decisions, obviously educate myself about the Army stuff, because I completely misunderstood that, and see what the differences and life is like, human medicine versus veterinary medicine, and that kind of stuff. So, welcome, Sean. Do you want to tell us a brief bit about your veterinary history?
Okay. So, went through Melbourne Uni, graduated in 2009, then worked, down Geelong for 3 years at a small animal practice. While I was there, I started doing a little bit of locum emergency work on weekends. Got a bit of a taste for it. By about 2 years out, I'd realised that long-term veterinary medicine wasn't going to be my thing, so started making the change towards doing human medicine. Got into Melbourne Uni again, Doctor of Medicine degree, started that in 2013, graduated in 2016. Throughout that time, was doing, again, locum vet work throughout to keep myself afloat, working at a combination of small animal and emergency clinics. Since finishing medicine and starting working in the hospital system, I've had significantly less time for veterinary work for the obvious reasons, but I've tried to do little bits here and there of emergency stuff. Again, that's where my main interest in vet still lies, so I want to stay competent in that field.
And what's the Army stuff?
So, Army stuff, I enlisted in the Army Reserve back at the start of my veterinary degree, give or take, and was doing completely unrelated work throughout. So I was running around in the mud shooting things, which was an awful lot of fun and a good change from your 9-to-5 BVSC studies.
And that is, how many hours were you doing? How were you doing that on top of your study?
So at that point, I was doing Tuesday nights and give or take one weekend a month, a couple of weeks where I could each year, doing courses or doing major exercises or various other things to help out and whatever was needed at that time.
And is that a volunteer thing or is that a paid thing?
It is paid. Not particularly well paid most of the time, so you do it more for the fun, the experience, and doing stuff with your mates rather than anything else.
Nothing about protecting your country or anything like that.
Sorry?
Not about protecting your country.
Oh, it may have started like that, but didn't stay like that. Once I finished my vet degree and was working in small animal practice, I started hearing about various opportunities that I'd be able to do working as a vet within the Army. At that point, the Army didn't really have structured veterinary roles, so I would just go and do things wearing my rank and employment of being an infantry soldier, but doing veterinary work, which did cause a bit of confusion along the way.
What kind of vet work?
So I went out to Aboriginal communities twice for a couple of weeks each. That was a lot of population health and de-sexings. Mm-hmm. So all their camp dogs, and there was also a bunch of cats out at one of them. De-sex all of them, give them flea control, worm control, all that side of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you said now you're doing stuff with the working dogs?
Yeah, so over the last couple of years, it's become a more formalised job within the Army to have vets around to look after working dogs, because we're starting to recognise just how important they are to the force, mm-hmm. and that it's a gap in our system at the moment. So again, I've gone out for a couple of weeks at a time to the major exercise up in Queensland, 2 different years, and each time then I was attached to the big human hospital that they'd got set up and providing field and sort of clinic type care to any of the working dogs who happened to hurt themselves. And at the same time, just sort of shaking down the capability, working out how we can actually deliver what's really needed on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really neat. Do you feel that it's a role that could be full-time employment if somebody wanted to do it full-time, or is it more of a part-time thing? Do you have to be a soldier to do that job? Like, if I wanted to work for the Army dealing with the working dogs just as a vet, could I go in and be like, hey, I want to play with the working dogs? Well, treat them, but, you know. Or do you have to be a soldier or infantry? I don't know any Army terms, I'm sorry.
Okay. So, in about the last 18 months, they have formally created a veterinary position. So there's a number of job openings scattered around Australia, linked into the Health Support Battalion. It's all currently Army Reserve positions,
okay. But
there are a couple of one-year contracts that are just being rotated around between people. So looking after the working dogs at various major institutions.
Okay, so if someone was interested, they could look, but they're far and few between in terms of getting a job unless you're in the reserve.
Yeah, so you would have to start as a reservist
and
be in the right place at the right time with all your qualifications from the Army perspective before you slotted in and got some of the juicier jobs.
Okay, good to know. So then you said a couple of years out you decided that vet med wasn't for you. What made you make that decision?
Number of different things. I think I was having a lot of difficulty dealing with the mismatch between what we could do technically and technologically, what owners were willing to pay for, and also what was the right thing for each animal. Mm-hmm. And trying to find the correct balance between all of those was, I think, probably quite emotionally draining for me.
Okay. You just wanted to be able to do what they need and not worry about any of the other stuff.
To a fair extent, yes.
Yeah.
Which I think is a common story.
I'd love to be able to do that. That would be magical. So you decided to go into human medicine. Why human medicine versus something else?
So amongst all the other things that were causing me grief, I was looking at whether I could get out of GP and go and do specialisation training and become a specialist small animal surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Looked at that in a bit more detail, recognised that it was going to be 3 or 4 years of, can I say, being treated as someone's bitch?
Of course you can. Say whatever you feel.
And at the end of those couple of years, there's still no guarantee that I would have addressed and moved on to a happy happier place in myself, I guess, with what I could do and couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I was looking at human medicine, realised that that was going to be, again, 4 years of work, but coming out the other end with what, at least naively, I thought was going to be a lot fewer of those issues.
Yeah.
So I weighed it up and basically thought that vet wasn't going to be a satisfying career for me long term, and human medicine and chasing surgical training through that direction
mm-hmm.
was going to be, at least hopefully, a better solution for me.
Financially, obviously, these degrees are expensive. You know, it's not nothing in terms of cost. Did finances play a role at all in terms of making those decisions, and how did you handle kind of doing one long degree, working for 2 years, and then financially handle to go back into another big degree? Like, how did you afford that?
I was quite lucky in a lot of ways. Being an Australian citizen, getting in as a HECS job for my veterinary degree, and I'd paid one of those years up front, having worked while I was still a student. So I didn't have a huge HECS debt after a couple of years of work.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Australian citizen, was able to get a HECS supported place in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And because, at least at that point, it was a higher degree, it was able to be put on HECS. I'm not sure if people going through vet now would be able to do the same thing.
Okay.
Because, at least with Melbourne vet, I know it's a master's level degree, and human medicine is also a master's level degree, so you may not be able to put that on HECS now. I'm just not sure.
Yeah. So overall, how much did your med degree cost per year with the HECS position? Is it like the, what is it, 12 a year? Or was it more like 20?
It would have been about that 10 grand mark, but yeah. To be honest, I couldn't afford to pay it, and I knew it was just going to go onto the big HECS debt at the end of it.
Yeah.
And just forgot about it.
But 10,000 a year for a medical degree is like, that's peanuts. That's a steal for a medical degree, so that's good. Like, you weren't coming out the other end with $400,000 worth of debt. It was like 50 or 60. Is that more accurate? Which, as a medical doctor, you should be able to tackle fairly quickly in terms of grand scheme of things, I would imagine.
Yes. It is definitely better paid than vet. There's a lot more money going around with overtime and after hours and overnight shifts and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were certainly concerned about going back to uni, having 4 years of not earning anything, and then going back to the bottom of the tree as far as the wage scale. But in the end, I'm certainly far ahead of where I would have been.
Yeah, and that's all that matters in the end.
It helps. I'm happier as well, so that's
the most important. So you did, you said 3 years is the med degree, 3 or 4 years then for the under?
Yeah, so 4 years for medicine degree as a post-grad.
And then what happens after med school is done? Do you do an internship, residency? How does that work?
Yeah, so you've got 1 year of internship, which is very closely supervised practice.
Mm-hmm.
You've got very little independence. And having come from vet, where you finish uni and you just start working and doing stuff,
yeah,
that was a bit of a change.
Yeah.
After that, depends on what specialisation you want to do. I'm pursuing surgery, and as such, I've got a long road ahead.
Yeah.
I'm now, unfortunately, into my third year of being a resident, which is one step up from an intern,
mm-hmm.
but it's still not a training position, really. I'm just working around the wards, building my knowledge, building my experience. I am learning, but it's not a structured step towards getting on the official surgical training program.
So it's not a surgical-specific residency, it's a general residency? Like, how does that process work in terms of... it's very, very different from Canada. Canada, you get into a residency program, you do that program, so you do, like, surgery would be 5 or 6 years of residency, and then when you're done, you're a surgeon. But here, they do it very differently. It's kind of like a rotating thing for a while until you get enough positions. Is that right?
Yeah. So, in North America and in vet, you've got only a couple of different levels, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Intern, resident, consultant, or
yeah.
a boss.
Yeah.
With surgical training in Australia, you need to go through your internship. You need to do a couple of years as a resident of just building up your very basic skills.
Mm-hmm.
Then you progress to becoming an unaccredited registrar,
okay.
which is where you are purely doing the surgical specialty of your choice, but you're not accepted by the College of Surgeons as a trainee just yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of steps.
Yep. And then once you've built your CV and your experience and your references up to a good enough standard, you apply to the colleges and then you can become an accredited trainee. And then you start your 5 years of actual official training.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a long process. And I assume, I can't imagine it being different from North America. I know in North America, the surgical residencies are pretty desirable and therefore competitive. I assume it's probably the same here. So.
Yeah, yep. I can't remember the exact numbers for orthopedics last year, but only about 1 in 3 of the people who got interviews got accepted on.
Oh, wow.
And of the people who applied, I think it was close to like 1 in 5 or so who actually got interviews in the first place.
Crazy. That is nuts. So you just kind of keep going. So in the meantime, you're working as a doctor in a hospital, is that correct?
Yes.
And
go
ahead. No, go ahead.
One of the suburban hospitals in Melbourne. I'm spending 6 months of my year working specifically in orthopaedics, and the other 6 months of the year I'll be doing a bit of neurosurge, I'll be doing a bit of emergency work and relief work,
mm-hmm.
and the next couple of weeks I'll be helping out with pandemic-y stuff. So, yeah, see what happens there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Is it absolutely nuts in the human hospitals with all of the crazy COVID stuff happening?
So far, it's pretty well under control, at least where I am.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things we've noticed is that ED is really quiet at the moment.
My sister said that too. She said it's empty, which never happens.
Yeah, people are now more scared of the virus than they are of whatever else is going on.
Yeah.
So they're just staying at home and stuffing it up.
Yeah. She said it's like the calm before the storm in the hospitals at home, and they're kind of, Canada's on par with Australia at the level of the curve, I guess. So she said it's eerily quiet right now, which is a weird thing. So you said you're much happier now. Are you happier now even though you're kind of in the middle of this long journey to becoming a specialist? Are you happy you made the decision? Do you regret going back to school? Or would you do it again 100 times over?
Overall, yes, I am happier now, and I would make the same decision again.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm in a long queue of people to get on this program, and it's going to be a minimum of 6 or 7 years before I come out the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to suck. But along the way, I'm doing stuff that I like and enjoy with a lot fewer of those limitations and clashes that I was finding in veterinary medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I guess in part, I really enjoy the hospital environment, being surrounded by a team and working with a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
When I've gone back and done stints of locum vet work for more than a week or two, I could feel that same frustration and, I guess, early flags for burnout that I'd had much worse at the end of those 3 years of full time.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still feel that they're there.
Yeah. What are those flags? You know, it's hard until you've kind of spiraled and crashed, you can't recognize what the early signs were. So what were the early signs that you now notice kind of having gone through that process that other people might be experiencing but not know that they're experiencing?
Ooh. That's a tricky one. Something I find is just generally being frustrated and having a shorter fuse about things that I shouldn't.
That's one of mine too.
Sometimes getting frustrated at animals and their behaviours rather than just being able to go, it's an animal, I'm a vet, I should expect this.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time, I think, since I've got to the point of losing empathy, but I think we'd all be able to recognise those times where you've gone from really feeling and caring to, this is just a job. I want to get in, do it, go home.
Yeah, for sure. One of my big ones is when you have the barking dog and you just can't handle the barking dog all night. Like, yeah. Normally you're like, okay, it's a dog, it's barking. And when I'm getting to that burnout point, I'm like, where's the ace? Just give me all the ace chromosine. That's one of my early triggers when I'm just like, if dog barks like 3 times and I'm like, give it ace! Then that's one of my points where I'm like, okay, time to take some less shifts. Maybe have a vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Short fuses.
Yeah, very short. So in terms of the human medicine stuff, are there any negative aspects that you didn't anticipate that you would be surprised about that, you know, maybe someone thinking of making this switch should know about?
Not realizing just how competitive things were, just how much other research, unpaid overtime, being the little scut monkey, all of that stuff that in retrospect I should have seen coming, but yeah, I hadn't been in the system, I didn't quite know what it was going to be like, and I don't think until you're there you can really understand it. But anyone who is thinking of it, don't be surprised by it.
Fair enough. Would you recommend someone that is frustrated with the vet aspect of being limited to pursue kind of, you know, everything that they can? Do you feel that the human side of it fixed that problem for you? Do you feel that it fulfilled those needs that you were having that the vet world wasn't fulfilling?
For me, I think it has, or it certainly into the future has the potential to, because I really do love surgery. I love getting my hands dirty in there, and vet where I was wasn't going to give me that. And I'm not sure honestly, if changing to somewhere else in vet would have been a good solution. Mm-hmm. What else? I think it's something other people should consider, but also consider not doing, would be locuming around, working elsewhere, trying other clinics. I did stay in my first clinic for 3 years, which is longer than a lot of new grads do. And as such, my experience was limited in that regard. Mm-hmm. If I'd gone elsewhere, if I'd gone into a different style of practice or a different location of practice, it may have helped, it may not have.
Yeah.
Something I'm very aware of for especially the post-grad veterinary science students now, everyone's getting older. Everyone is coming out now at 25 at a minimum, mm-hmm. as opposed to 23, I think it was, when I, well, for most of my class. And as the DVM's getting harder to get into, people are getting older and older with more honours and masters and everything else that they've done just to get into that degree first time around. Don't wait around too long, that when you do medicine, you're going to be, again, feeling that time pressure of getting older. Because mm-hmm. especially if you want to do surgery or some of the other really long training programs, it's you're going to be in your 40s by the time you finish.
Yeah. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing because, you know, work, any work gets boring at some point, and it's, you know, to be older, to have those experiences, and then getting to that point where you know that stuff, maybe it'll keep your job more interesting instead of, you know, if you... You're 18, you finish high school, and you get a job in a factory. Yeah, you have a job that you're going to be in for 60-something. Like, how many years are you going to be in that job? 40 years. Yeah, you might only be in the job for 20, 25 years, but at least it's a more interesting path to get there.
Yeah, definitely.
Silver lining?
Yeah. I have got to agree with that one. I've got to do some really cool stuff along the way through vet and hopefully through the army and locum stuff. I'll continue to do that for another couple of years. Mm-hmm. And one of the good things about the human system is that you are constantly trying to move up the tree and do more and different things. Mm-hmm. So the job is constantly evolving as your skills increase and there's a real career trajectory, which, looking back, I couldn't really see with vet. So, just depends what people are after.
Yeah. Would you say that the vet degree, or the medicine degree, what, I guess, which one is harder? Obviously, you know, they're going to be very different. Would you say that the human medicine degree was significantly harder or par? What kind of experience do you have with that?
Different is about the closest I can get.
Fair enough.
Vet was very all-consuming while you're doing it. When you've got your holiday placements, your farm placements, and going out to clinics on your what are meant to be holidays, all of those things do make it a really all-encompassing, all-consuming degree. And they do teach an awful lot in a very short space of time. In the human degree, the first year or two is just a massive data dump of all sorts of information going into your brain quick as they can push it in. But there's not so much clinical stuff going on at the same time.
I guess you don't have to learn how to walk a human the way we have to, like, learn how to walk a horse. You know? Like, some of that basic stuff that we have to learn in vet school of, like, this is what a horse looks like when it's angry and it's going to kick you. You don't have to learn that in human medicine, I guess.
Most of the time, our patients aren't trying to kill us.
Most of the time?
There's the occasional special one. There, I leave them to the psych patients.
Fair enough. How gross are humans? Obviously, that's one of the biggest reasons that we're in veterinary medicine, is because humans are super gross. Do you find that that is, you know, how do you handle that? Because, like, to me, there's just such a big difference between an animal and working on an animal. And, like, I love doing enemas on animals because they're so happy after. But the thought of doing an enema on a random stranger, like, I would vomit. So how do you find that?
So 3 cheers to all the nurses out there, because they take a lot of that load off us.
Yeah.
Some people are gross. There is no hiding that. There are people with skin folds and fungal infections where there just shouldn't be either.
That's so gross.
I'm trying not to make comparisons to pugs or chassés, but...
Fair enough.
One of the good things about orthopedics is it's all shiny and clean, and we don't like grossness anywhere near our orthopedic-y goodness. Yeah. Gen-Surg, on the other hand, has some pretty manky stuff going on down there.
Yeah, I can imagine. How are you tolerating that? Is it okay? Like, is it just, does it very quickly become the norm? I can imagine it would just very quickly be like, yeah, that's work. Like, my sister's a urologist, and she's just like, yeah, I look at penises all day. Like, it's just another penis, who cares? I'm like, that's gross to look at penises all day. I would not want that job.
Yeah, it does become just work pretty quickly. Gloves and personal protective equipment, and there's a barrier between you and them. It's okay.
Fair enough. I have another question. What was I going to ask? Oh, I can't remember. There's something I really wanted to ask. That's okay. In terms of... Oh, that's what I was going to ask. My brain is a sieve. I was on nights and have just come off. So I was debating doing medicine, human medicine, and vet med. My family's all human doctors. And I ultimately chose vet med because I felt like there was a lot more variety in what you could do. You know, my dad's an anesthesiologist, my sister's an anesthesiologist, my other sister's a urologist. And it just seemed like they got very, very narrow in their scope. Ah, there we go. All right. Slight technical difficulty. It worked well, but it was a time where I completely forgot my question. Oh, there we go. I'll ask you one more question, and then we'll finish up. So one of the big reasons that I didn't pursue human medicine was I was worried that I would become pigeonholed and not have the variety of all of the different things. And also, a lot of times, humans don't help themselves. And I know that they hinder their animal progress too. Like, animals come in and they're morbidly obese, and then they're sick because they're obese, and you're just like, just feed them less, and the people won't, and I get really frustrated. So I felt like I'd be very frustrated by humans not helping themselves, and those were my two main reasons for ultimately choosing veterinary medicine instead of human medicine. Do you find that those are an issue at all?
That's actually really new. What I've come to learn. When deciding to do vet med at the start, I was also very keen to not get pigeonholed and to be able to do a bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And even I remember talking to a friend who was doing human medicine at that time and saying that as one of the reasons I found vet more appealing. Over the years, I did certainly want to become more of an expert in anything. To some extent, I didn't even care what it was, but I wanted to be really good at something.
Yeah.
And so overall was where my interest was.
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunity to specialise, and yet the pigeonhole would be really good within that pigeonhole, became an appeal.
Okay.
There is also a whole lot of work and a whole lot of different procedures and things that can be done. So, yes, I could end up being just a knee person or whatever. But at least with orthopedics, I can do trauma as well as that. So all your broken bone within that limb, plus the elective specialty stuff.
Yeah.
There'll be a fair bit of variety still going on there. And what was the other part of the question?
Oh, just to get frustrated with people not helping themselves.
Ah, yes. Oh, God, again, you're not ahead there. People are not great magnets a lot of the time.
Yeah.
A lot of people who don't take good care of themselves, and I'm sure we can all think of examples, either socially or clients or whatever else. Luckily, I think that's one of the things that drew me towards orthopedics, is that, obviously not while I'm training, but down the track I'll be able to be a bit more selective about who I help and what procedures I do and what benefits they can get at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there will still be the obese people with the worn out knees, because knees aren't made to carry 180 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be able to say, but no thanks, lose some weight, come back when you're skinnier. Or I'll be able to make my practice sports medicine and look after young, fit, healthy people who mangle themselves on their mountain bike. Or those things that I find more appealing. And because it is such a structural problem, it's a structural fix. You fix it, they move on. If they're a good smoker, then okay, they probably won't go so well. But most of the time, you put things back together,
mm-hmm.
and the jigsaw can do it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So, any last parting words of wisdom or thoughts for anyone considering doing human medicine out of the vet world, just in general?
Yeah. So, everything that you learnt at vet school, or at least almost all of it, will be applicable, and you'll be miles ahead of everyone else in your year.
Really?
Especially in your first couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Going through the degree, and if you've worked for a few years, you're going to be miles ahead of all of the interns when you start, and I don't know what a 40-hour work week actually feels like, or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, yes, you might be a few years older because of having done that first. You'll have got so much experience out of it. You'll know so much more than you would have otherwise. Don't regret it at all.
And you're financially more behind.
Do locum work whilst you're at uni. That'll keep you afloat, because we all know locums pay pretty well. And when you come out the other end, you'll be on good money. Don't stress about it. Tell your parents that someone else has gone and they know that it's okay.
So it sounds like your parents are very worried about you.
They were for a while. I think I've broken that out of them or something. Anyway,
yeah. Well, move on. Better to be happy in your job than anything else. So. I'm glad that you found where you needed to be. I'm sad that the vet world couldn't provide that for you, but it's one of those things where knowing about the differences of vet med and human medicine before going in, so I'm hoping that people that are considering vet school are going to watch these interviews as well, and they can say, oh, I didn't realize that was part of the profession, that, you know, you're going to be limited by this, and oh, my personality type is, yeah, that would really upset me, and maybe pick another option. So it's good to hear. So thank you so much for all of your time. I really appreciate you sharing your information, and I wish you all of the best in your future endeavors.
Thanks heaps for your time as well. Great to talk to you again, and good luck with everything into the future too.
Thanks so much. Thanks everyone for joining us, and we will see you next time.